Well, good morning. It's good to be back. I'm going to just give a brief update on the youth ministry that Steve mentioned that we're involved in Esquimalt, and then I'll move into the sermon for this morning about finding God through service. So if you don't know about the community youth ministry in Esquimalt, Esquimalt's an area just outside of Victoria, just west of Victoria, and there's about 1,300 youth there between the ages of 10 and 19. And when my wife and I received a call, we were in Calgary. I'm from Victoria, and we'd moved away to Calgary for a bit, and we received a call saying, hey, what would you think about coming back to Esquimalt and working with youth there that don't know Christ? There's no youth really in the churches, and we want to see these youth reached, and we want to see these youth served. And we thought, great. So we arrived there and began praying, and God laid on our hearts the vision for this ministry, which we kind of explain as a dartboard. So the bullseye of the dartboard is John 10:10, where Jesus says that the thief came to steal and to kill and to destroy. But, Jesus says, but I have come in opposition to that to bring them to full and abundant life. And then out from that center of the bullseye, we have connections is the next ring around that bullseye, where we develop mentorship relationships or discipleship relationships with youth. And the next ring around that is causes. So we challenge youth to get involved in different types of volunteering and causes within our community. And then the next ring around that is context, just getting to know youth where they are and making new contacts with youth. And the last time I was here, I was sharing about something that God seemed to be unfolding, this incredible opportunity to make contacts in our community. Even before Candace and I moved back to Esquimalt 8 years ago, the pastors in the area, there's just a few small churches in the area sort of working together. They had this idea, what if we had a drop-in center for youth? And it seemed like we were so close to having a drop-in center for youth. We had Ron came down and took a look at it and helped us kind of through some of the building inspection process, what that would look like. There was the owner of the building was a Christian man who was very ministry minded. In fact, God had kind of been opening doors between him and some of the students we already knew. One of the students that comes to our daily breakfast program at the high school had been assaulted across the street from where this youth center was potentially going to be. And the owner of the building was in a business meeting, and he heard the boy get hit. And so he stopped the meeting, and he came out of the meeting, and he stopped the altercation from happening. And I thought, man, God, you're unfolding all these things. The building, oh, by the way, the building is half a block from the high school where we do most of our ministry, and most of our students are connected there. So we thought, God, you're in this. We had the pastors come and pray, and there was words, and this was going to be the place, and God was doing all this stuff. And then it all, right before Christmas, it all just fell apart. And we were just, it was like the rug was pulled out from under us. And so I kind of put it on the shelf for Christmas because I was going away to visit Candace's family in Spruce Grove. And I thought, well, I'll just leave that on the shelf for 2 weeks. And came back in January and was just praying, Lord, how could all this stuff be pointing in this direction? How could all this stuff be, like, do we know how to hear you? Were we wrong about this? And so I started, you know, the owner of the building, when we talked about all the upgrades that would need to be made to meet the code and that type of thing, he's like, yeah, we can't do that because it's going to impede on our other tenants as much as I'd like to help you out. But he said, I still want to see this project happen. What if we start looking at other spaces? So we were looking at other spaces, and there was just nothing. And I went, Lord, what's happening? Like, there's this whole vision that's built up to this point, and it's just right there, and then it fell apart. And so we kept praying, and then I had this idea, well, what if instead of having a youth center in his building, what if I rented an office from him? And then I had an office space right next to the high school where I could work and youth could drop by and stop by. But I said, I don't know, Lord, like I've been in his building. There's no offices available. It's just a small building. And the youth center was going to be on the ground floor, and then the upper floor is offices. But I thought, well, I'll phone him and see. And he said, you know, we actually have a room available now. He said, there's a room that we were going to turn into our boardroom. We're not going to need it for a few years. So we'll do all the renovations and everything. It'll be all done for you, and you can just move in and use that as your office, and the rent will be way less. We don't have to do a big renovation project. We don't have to do any rezoning or anything. Basically, I can just kind of move in there as soon as the space is ready. We already have furniture stored for the space ready to go, and then youth can just begin to drop by. We can bring up the photos. I have photos. Sorry. Please. So this is the building. So that's the ground floor was where the youth center was going to be. And then you can see the upper floor. If you can go to the next slide there. So this is where the office is going to be. It's about 300 square feet. So it's pretty big for an office. I very clearly tell people this is not a youth drop-in center. It's an office where youth can come and hang out. Just putting that out there. In the last photo, through that door, there's a classroom with desks and chairs already set up, and the owner of the building said, you can use that room as well, as long as there's an educational component to your program. So there's a possibility of doing tutoring after school, or what's going through my head is running some type of freedom program for some of our youth that have graduated from our youth programs and are dealing with a lot of stuff in their life, want to stay connected to youth group in some way, but they're too old to come to youth group, and they're not ready to make that connection to just being regular members of a church. They're kind of floating out there. We can go to the next photo. And so through that door, if we go to the next photo, there is that pool table and all this shared space that we're allowed to have access to as well. So it's like God had us and was speaking to us, and we had this idea of what he was doing, and then the rug got pulled out from under our feet. And it's very interesting because everybody, all of us that would have knew about it, were super excited about this. And I had one friend. You know, you have that one friend, and you're like, come on, man. And he emailed me, and he said, are you sure you want to do this? He's a missionary overseas. And he said, you know how often I've seen people come overseas where he is in really difficult nations. And he said, they get a building. And he said, they stop making disciples. Everything becomes about that building and the projects and everything they need to do that. He's like, I don't want to see that happen to you. And I was like, well, but God is in this. And then it seemed over time, God's kind of revealed the best of both worlds, that we can have this space that's already going to be set up. We don't need to do big renovation projects. We don't need to do anything, really. And it's just going to be an easy space where I can already do what I've been doing, but have the opportunity for youth to drop by whenever they'd like to, at lunchtime, after school, before school. Even in the evenings, you know, the owner of the building was telling me, he said, well, you know, what type of privacy do you need? And I said, actually, having too much privacy is a bad thing. It's great when people are around and they can see what's going on in the space. And he said, oh, that's good. He said, I just changed the hours for my staff. Now there's people in the building from 8 o'clock in the morning till 9 at night. I said, awesome. So thank you so much for praying and for sticking with me. I know if you've been getting our newsletters, there's been some newsletters where it's kind of big question marks at the end of the newsletter. So thank you for praying through that. And just, I'm really excited about what God is going to do in that space and how we're able to just begin by making connections with youth in that space, and then seeing what the needs are and moving towards that in the classroom space or whatever that might look like. Praise the Lord. Yeah. So yes, thank you, Lord. Last thing I want to speak about is, as was mentioned by Steve, we're going to camp with your youth April 12th to 14th at Capernaum, and all of the youth that we're bringing this year are not believers in Christ, which is exciting, especially because we're going to be talking about, you know, the questions of, if God exists, so what? Why does this matter to me? I mean, why should I even care? Because the question that a lot of people are asking isn't necessarily does God exist or not, but if he does exist, why does it matter? Who cares? Why should this matter to me? I will say that I spoke to Tracy about, you know, taking an offering or something like that, and for youth, because we have so many youth that are unable to afford the cost of the camp. And he said that there's a love offering that's already going to be happening for local stuff that's going on, which is awesome. And I don't want to interfere with that, but he said, just put it out to the congregation. And if there's people that would like to get involved, they can just, designate on an envelope or a check, to Nanaimo Alliance, and just designate in the memo community youth camp or Esquimalt youth camp. And then we'll be able to take those funds to help sponsor some of our youth, because we have at least 4 youth that are going to need quite a bit of help to get there. And it's about $150 for the weekend for each youth. And if you want more details about that, come and speak to me afterwards. Thank you, Nanaimo Alliance, for praying for us. Already today, you know, I came in and there's people that came up and said, we just prayed for you. We've just been praying for you. And I'm like, oh, thank you, Lord. Do we ever need it? So thank you for praying. Thank you for encouraging. Thank you for being with us basically since the very beginning when we moved back to Esquimalt 8 years ago. If you want more information, I understand some of you might not have heard of this ministry before, and I'm kind of jumping in the middle. I'll be out in the foyer at the end. There's prayer cards as well. If you want to take a prayer card, send me an email, give me a text or a call, or just email me and get added to our newsletter. We send that out about every month. And we would just really appreciate all the prayers that you've been giving and continue to give. And if you want to get involved financially too, just like other missionaries, we're responsible for raising our own support from individuals and churches. So you can speak to me about that as well. Or if you got to go, grab a prayer card on your way out, and all our contact information's on there as well. So thank you so much. And praise God for what he's doing with that space. And I'm just going to pray before we move into the sermon, just to kind of help me shift into that part. I mean, I love sharing these updates and everything that's been going on, but I think that the Word of God is even more exciting. So, Lord, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that you came not to be served, but to serve. We thank you that your service to us went to such a point that you gave your life as a ransom. And not even just a ransom for people that you liked, but a ransom for people that hated you. And we pray that as we serve people, that people would see you in us and through us. And people that are enemies of you right now, whether they are aware of it or not, would receive that ransom that's already been paid. And we pray that that would happen in Nanaimo and through the ministries of this church, through the ministries of other churches, Lord. Would you bring people into Nanaimo Alliance Church that would accept the ransom that's been paid? And would you empower this church, and would you empower us as individuals to serve in the way that you've served? In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so I'm already crying and I haven't even started yet. I don't even know if that's a good sign or a bad sign. But we heard the passage that was read by Steve. Thank you, Steve. And we heard about James and John coming to Jesus, and they're asking him, how do we get the best place in heaven? Basically, they're asking Jesus, how do we go higher? And Jesus says to them, this is how you go deeper. He answers them in a totally different way than they're expecting. They're thinking a meteoric rise. They're thinking top of the Billboard charts. They're thinking number one New York Times bestseller. They're thinking ascending through the ranks. They're thinking of leveling up. They're thinking of their careers soaring. And Jesus is answering them, how do you be last on the New York Times seller list? How do you descend with me? How do you go deeper with me? Jesus called to them and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them, but it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Basically, he's saying, you've seen the way that the world does it. Power and ruler and lording it over someone else, flexing your muscle, flashing your cash, abusing your power. And he's saying, now see how I do it. Now see how I do it. Jesus is calling us to pursue him, to follow him, to find him in and through service. He's saying that I came not to be served, but to serve. So how do we find God through service? How does God reveal himself to us as we seek to, like Jesus, not be served, but to serve? We're going to talk about just four ways briefly. There's so many ways that we can find God through service, but we're just going to talk about four ways briefly this morning based around the theme of identifying with Christ. As we serve others, we find God by identifying with Christ. We get to know him better in small ways, experiencing at little glimpses of what he experienced as he came not to be served, but to serve. So we experience with Christ when we serve pain, power, people, and pure joy. Pain, power, people, and pure joy. Pain. Serving others can be painful. In verse 38, we see that Jesus is saying to James and John, we're in Mark 10 as still. And verse 38, Jesus is saying to James and John, okay, you want to serve. You want to be with me. Are you going to be receiving the baptism that I'm seeing? We're going to receive. Are you going to be able to drink the cup that I'm going to be able to drink? This is the suffering that he's going to go through. And when we serve, I'm not expecting that every day that we serve, every week that we serve, in, you know, on the island in Nanaimo or in Victoria or in Esquimalt, is going to be the same level of pain that Jesus experienced on the cross. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's going to be little glimpses of the pain that Jesus experienced in serving us when he was on earth, and we can identify with him in that. So, for example, I can't use that illustration because my daughter's here. Hi, Charlotte. Next illustration. My wife has been going through something very difficult, and it's to do with dropping off an individual at a certain place that they go every day to be educated. And I've been praying with her, and it's been very, very difficult. There's been a lot of fear and nervousness and things that go by other names. And it's been very, very difficult for my wife. And I've been praying with her and identifying with her. Oh, I'm so sorry, that's so difficult. And then it was my turn to drop off this individual at this place where they go every day for education. And it was like, it was so hard. It was so, so hard. I kept it together with this person for over an hour while they were struggling with all this difficulty. And then by the time I left, I was just holding it together. And by the time I walked out of the school, or the place where this person goes for education, I was just in tears. Because it was so difficult and so heart-wrenching. And my wife said, see, now you know what it's like. Because before, you know, she wasn't shoving it in my face. She was just saying, hey, this is how difficult it's been, and you've been hearing about it, but now you've experienced just a glimpse of it because you did it just one time, but not every time, every day that this person goes to that place. I thought, wow, just a little glimpse. And this is what happens to us when we serve in Christ's name. We'll experience just a little bit of pain. We're able to identify with him and say, wow, sometimes this is difficult. Sometimes I have to give things up. Sometimes the people that I'm trying to serve are really difficult to serve. And you say, wow, Lord, you went through this again and again and again. And we find him, our eyes are turned to him, and we're able to praise him for the attitude with which he has served us and with which he's served others. When it's just like I'm walking a mile in somebody's shoes, right? Somebody said to you, well, walk a mile in my shoes, and then you'd understand. Well, that's kind of true, but you're still just walking a mile in your shoes. They're not walking a lifetime in their shoes. And this is what it's like when we're identifying with Christ, when we're serving. We're just walking a little bit, a little piece of the sufferings that he's experienced. We're able to identify with him in that. Maybe you're serving someone or some group of people, and they won't accept the help that you want to give them. They won't listen to what you're saying. How often we see that with youth. Myself and other youth leaders will meet, and we'll see a youth that's going through a really difficult time. And we'll say, oh man, if they just listened to what we'd said to them about that relationship, about that decision, about dropping this in their life, or about taking that up in their life. If they just listened, oh. And then we think of Jesus in Matthew 23, where he says, Jerusalem, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. And you were not willing. And so we see this little glimpse of, oh, you guys just won't listen. Like the message is right there that's going to save you, whether it's physically or spiritually, you know, whether it's the message of Christ or just good advice in life, and you won't listen. And we think, oh man, Lord, how many times have you been there with me? How many times have you laid the message out right in front of me and I didn't listen? How many times have there been people all over the world that you've laid things out for and they haven't listened? And just a little way, I'm able to see God and praise him in that moment. Say, thank you for your patience, Christ. Thank you for your overwhelming love that we sang about that continues to pursue us. And we find God as we see him doing that and as we praise him in that. Maybe you're just serving somebody that's really difficult. Maybe they listen to you. Maybe they're doing what you say, but they're really difficult to serve and it's draining you. And it's like to the point that it's starting to just hurt. And, you know, you need to make wise decisions sometimes and have support in that. But maybe part of that is just a little bit of identifying with the pain that Christ experienced when he came not to be served, but to serve. And we find him. You can find God even in the pain and difficulty and sacrifice of serving others and identifying with Christ. Paul says in Philippians 3:10, he said that I desire to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the pain of sharing in his sufferings. Power. We find God in serving others when we recognize the need for his power and we experience that power at work in and through us. So when we're serving other people, it's difficult. If it is difficult, we recognize, wow, I can't really do this on my own power. And then we recognize our need for God's power, so it turns us more to him because we're asking him for power, so we find him by recognizing our need for more of his power. God, fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can do this. And then we find God when we experience that power. Have you ever been serving somebody or been involved in any type of ministry, and there's been a dramatic moment where something happened in your life to them, and you're like, wow, that was not me. Did you realize that that might have been God? Did you find God in that moment? Going, wow, God, you might have just used me there. That was really amazing. And sometimes we have those dramatic moments where we go, wow, I just found you because you just did this amazing thing through my life. I remember when I was in high school, one of my good friends was Buddhist, and she was asking me questions about Christianity. And I gave her these answers, just kind of the answers just rolled off. And after the conversation, I thought, wow, I just answered two or three of the questions I knew the answers to, but a couple of the questions I had no idea what the answers were, and I just had them. Like it was just God in that way. And those are the dramatic times where you find God, you go, whoa, wow, I just found power in service that you just worked in and through me, and I'm seeing you in that. But other times it's not that dramatic, and it's not that sort of one moment thing. Sometimes there's a slow, long service over a long, long time, and you might not even realize that God's been empowering you for that, has empowered you for that, and will continue to empower you for that. For that type of service, is there power that you've been given to serve? That's God working in and through you. If it's His Holy Spirit working in and through you, it could be dramatic. It could be sort of a one-time event. It could be non-dramatic, and it could be over a long period of time. But if God's working through you in service, see that, look at that, find Him in that, praise Him for that. And if you feel like He's not, then seek Him for more power to serve, and you're going to find Him in that seeking of Him and asking Him to empower you. You identify with Christ when you serve, not just in the pain of service, but in the recognition that you need power for service. Because when Jesus was on earth, He surrendered. He kind of didn't make use of that God power that He had as fully God, but He sought the power of God in and through His life, just like we need to be doing. You can identify with Him in seeking power and in having the power of God working in and through you. People. We find God in people when we serve. Serving people, you'll be surprised, or you're probably not surprised. You probably have lots of stories as well. But you see God at work in them. You see God doing something in them, or God does something in them or through them back to you, and you find God. So think of Jesus in His life of living not to be served, but to serve. He encounters some incredible people. So Luke 7, the Roman centurion with a servant who was dying, and he says to Jesus, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but say the word and let my servant be healed. For I too am a man that's set under authority with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard these things, He marveled at him. So Jesus was surprised at what God is doing in this man's life. And turning to the crowd, he said to the crowd, "I tell you, even in Israel, I have not found such faith." So Jesus is marveling at this man's faith because he's basically saying, "Hey, Jesus, I know that you have so much power that you can heal this person without even coming to my house. Because you're so powerful, just say the word and this person will be healed. And Jesus is going, whoa. Jesus marveled at that. When you're serving people, you'll find God in people's responses. You'll find God at work in them, whether they know it or not. A few years ago, we were driving some youth home from youth group, and one youth said, "You know, he's kind of a quiet guy, sort of just introverted." He said, "You know, wouldn't it be cool if there was this place where when we died, we could all like go there, and nobody would be sad, and nobody would be sick, and we'd just kind of be together, and I'd want like my family and friends to be there." I was like, "Yeah, that would be cool if there was a place like that." And he was like, some of the things he was almost quoting were from Revelation, right? How there'd be no more crying and no more pain and no more tears. But he had no idea that he was talking about heaven. Another youth that we didn't even know, I received an email from one of the counselors at the high school, said, "Hey, there's a youth that's looking for a church. We thought you might be able to help him out." So yeah, absolutely. So we met, and his story was that Christmas Eve, he felt like he should go to church. I said, "Oh, does your family go to church or somebody you know?" He said, "No." He said, it seemed like the right thing to do. He's never been to church before. He's 17. So he goes to a big church downtown Christmas Eve. They preach the gospel. He gives his life to Christ. And wow. So I was like, okay, God, like, this has nothing to do with our youth ministry. This is just you doing your thing as people are praying for youth in Esquimalt. And then he said, "Yeah, and then I felt like I should go back to church again." And it was a few weeks, a month or two before Easter. And they were asking if people wanted to get baptized. And he said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, I'm a Christian now, so I want to get baptized." So they said, "Okay, come to the baptism class." So first time he goes to church, he puts his faith in Christ. Second time he goes to church, he decides he wants to get baptized. He goes to a baptism church. Third time he goes to church, it's on Easter, and he gets baptized. It was amazing. I was there when he gave his testimony, his baptism. I thought, wow, God was at work in this guy's life in an amazing way. We have another youth who, after he put his faith in Christ, he shared with us He said, you know, I've never really talked about this before, but teenagers, they always have their, like, headphones on. Am I right? Teenagers, is that true? Like, you know, you've got your music in? No? Yes? Okay, well, some people, like, he's got his headphones on. He's that guy who always has his headphones on. He said, you know, I'd be in my room, and I'd hear my mom calling me, and I'd stop my music, and, yeah, what is it, Mom? And she'd say, I didn't call you. He said, I'd hear this voice calling my name. And then he'd go back to listening to his music, and then he'd hear somebody calling him again by name, and he'd turn the music off. Mom, are you calling me? No, I'm not calling you. And we're starting to think, wow, we've heard this story somewhere before, right? And so, you know, basically he says, now I realize that was God calling me, and I wish I'd listened a lot sooner. So we find God as we serve people. Like, this is just somebody we've been meeting with who's been coming to youth group. And then we see what God's been doing in his life. We're like, wow, God, you were right there working in his life before we ever met him, before we ever knew him. You knew him and you were pursuing him, and we're able to find God in that and to praise God. So pain, power, people, and lastly, pure joy. James says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. When we're identifying with Christ, when we're living a life not to be served, but to serve, there's going to be some trials. But we find God and the joy that he brings in the midst of that. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes serving people is fun. When I take our youth to a summer camp at Cape and Ray, the spring camp's a little different. It's a lot more work. Sorry, youth. The summer camp, they do everything. We don't have to do any of the speaking, any of the music, any of the games. Basically, I just get to go for a weekend and hang out with all the youth, which is super fun. And I just have to keep them from, you know, going off the rails, and I don't get much sleep. But beside that, it's a lot of fun. But other times, serving people is very difficult. But God brings joy into that situation. It will open up be open to receive that from him. You know, some of the same youth that we bring to summer camp, when it's a blast and it's really fun, it's not so much fun when you're visiting them in the hospital for the fourth time because they keep trying to take their life. Some of the youth, when they come to youth group, it's really fun and we're playing games and we're sharing, you know, these teachings about Christ, but it's not so much fun when you're meeting with them and their social worker because they need to get out of their house for reasons that I can't talk about because my daughter's here. But God brings joy and pure joy in the midst of service if we'll open our hearts to receive that from him. You know, when I get in my car after a meeting like that, I'm kind of just, oh, Lord, that was awful. I just want to go home. But what if I was to say, Lord, thank you that you met with us in that conversation. Thank you that this youth even brought up, you know, the youth kind of looked at me and looked at the social worker and said, yeah, that's kind of like what it says, what you were talking about at youth group, Cam, where Jesus says this in the Bible. And I'm thinking, wow, like there's a little seed that's taken root. So God can give us pure joy in the midst of service, even when it's difficult. Hebrews 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I don't think any service that I've ever been involved in has been as difficult as being crucified and having all the sins of everybody who's ever lived or will live laid upon me and having the presence of God. Yeah, like it could go on and on, right? But the joy that was set before him, he was able to endure the cross. So God's able to bring pure joy in the midst of service, even when it's difficult. We can look beyond what we are in the midst of service, especially if it's difficult. You know, there's probably people in this room who have been serving somebody for a decade or two decades. Maybe it's somebody that's ill or a parent or something like that, and it's been a really difficult, long haul. And I encourage you to find joy as you look for the joy that is ahead of you, as you look for the joy that's going to come to you. Just like Jesus did, he said, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So we set our eyes on him. We find him in that way of service. So if your eyes, your ears, and your mind, and your heart are open, and if you recognize that, as Acts says, in God we live and move and have our being, you'll find God in service. You'll find God through service in so many ways. You'll identify with him, and you'll celebrate what he's done when you experience pain and sorrow and the toil of service at times. You'll find him when you recognize that you are not enough in yourself and you need his power in your life working through you. You'll find him as you recognize and you celebrate that he's actually worked through you in service, those times where you recognize, wow, that was more than just me doing that. God really empowered me for that. And you'll find God through the people that you serve. You'll see him doing things in their life that you could just not imagine, and praise God, praise him for those things, see those things, be looking out for those things. You'll find God through service as you experience the joy that he gives, the joy that motivated and empowered Christ. He'll give you that joy to serve, to live in the footsteps of the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Father, thank you for sending your Son. Thank you for sending your Son in such a way that we were able to see him for who he was, as one who came to serve. And I ask that you would give us that same attitude, that we would find you as we serve others. In Jesus' name.